Working on a weekend like usual. Way off in the deep end like usual. Swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Your thoughts, Astros or Texans, you're more than welcome. Big bomb coming out tonight at 6:30. Jeff Luhnow doing an interview. And you never know why. I don't know who she is. What's the name of the reporter? Anyway, you never know why. Somebody said, well, why isn't Randy McAvoy? It's amazing that he's given this. Listen, she may have just been persistent. You have no idea.
Maybe she may have been the one who pulled it off. I bet you she is, because that's why she said,
"I'll do it." Friend of the family. You don't. You have absolutely a neighbor. You just don't know. I know that Jeff Luhnow might know the parent, her parents. Whatever the case may be, she was the one who got the job done, and she got the interview. Whether or not it was because he wanted to do it with somebody local, whether he eschewed all of the sports people because everybody has been so judgmental with Jeff Luhnow, whatever the case may be, she's the one who got the interview. And she secured it, and now she's going to go. And you know what? This is going to be picked up. This will be picked up by everybody. This will not be, however, it'll be interesting to see how an ESPN handles this. It'll be interesting to see how Major League MLB Network handles it.
They're going to play clips. They will play clips.
Well, they will play clips, but it'll be interesting to see whether or not, because you know Raj will say, NFL Network, we ain't doing that. So it'll be interesting to see if Rob Manfred has the power to tell MLB Network, no, we ain't doing this. We ain't talking about this.
If they pay a bunch of money to him, like, you know what I mean? They pay a bunch of money to Major League Baseball, they're not going to let Major League Baseball be the boss of them. They'll say, no, we pay you a crap load of money, probably losing money on the deal. And they're going to say, no, if this gets us hits and clicks and watches and views and all that stuff, we're doing it. And when's the Yankee thing getting unsealed again? When is that happening again, John?
I think the letter said February now or something. I forget what the date was.
Yeah, when is that coming again?
It's when no one cares. Probably Christmas Day. Because
you would think every team in the league and every fan base in the league would want that to come out. But I think they just like to focus their ire on the Astros. Phil Hughes, he had this to say. Pitcher said, ex-Yankees pitcher said, man, that's too bad for the Astros. One game away from the World Series after being sub-500 team this year. Shame. Clowns.
No.
So his rip of the Astros is they're a game away from the World Series. That's his dig. Is that the dig? That,
yeah.
They
ooh,
almost,
so close.
They almost made the World Series.
Yeah, that's his dig.
Where's his former team? Where did they finish?
Did nothing. They didn't even get this. They didn't get to the, they got division series. They lost in a division series.
Anyone who jumps on the, so sad for the Astros, they didn't make the World Series, you're a loser. You know why? They were in Game 7 the ALCS. Is that supposed to be some type of great shot at them? That they advanced? They were one of the top four teams in baseball, or at least the final four teams in baseball? That's your shot and did something historic on the way? Is that where you're
that's
at right now?
That's the shot. Yeah, that's where he is.
Yep.
Okay.
That's where
good
he
one.
Is. In Game 7, McCullers hits the first batter with the first pitch. It gives up a bomb.
Was over then.
And then it's like, oh, no. And then they picked up another run, and they pulled him. Now, were you a little surprised Dusty pulled him out when he did after throwing a – did you notice how many breaking pitches he went to? I was like, oh, this means McCullers doesn't have his confidence. Either that or they're trying something completely different than the last time, which is maybe possible. But whatever you're doing last time, I would do that again. I wouldn't go to the breaking pitch. It made me feel like McCullers had no confidence at all because he was just going to all those breaking pitches. And I was a little surprised to see Dusty come get him when he had just got a strikeout and was kind of finding himself. But, you know, bringing Urquidy in was the right move. It was at this point, it's a game seven. I mean, you got to have Urquidy ready to go. And he did okay. He hung in okay. But it was the bats, John. Ultimately, the bats are what, you know, came alive, and then the bats kind of went to sleep for you. And so, Georgie, is this it? I feel like that was it for George and Michael Brantley. And if that was it, then where's George going to end up? If George comes back, okay, what would you do to keep George? What do you think the Astros would do to keep George Springer?
What do I think they will do to keep him? Well, it's all about money.
Would a 4-year, $100 million deal do it?
I don't know that. He probably can catch 5 at 100 and a quarter.
That's
or even 104, maybe even 140 in that neighborhood. Yeah.
I mean, he had a good season, truncated season, a lot of home runs.
Well,
hits homers in the postseason and gives you a locker room presence, which I think
I'll tell you who made
earns
the most,
him an extra $3 million a year.
Who made the most money this postseason is Carlos Correa.
Yeah. So we didn't get to talk about this. What about Correa's move where Diaz screams at, if you didn't see it, or if you did, we're talking about the play where Diaz gets a 3-2 curveball. It's a ball against Fromber, who once again made himself a lot of money in the future. Fromber was just money again. But here's Diaz yelling at him, and I think it was because he didn't challenge him on the 3-2 pitch. I guess there was some talk that had been going on between the two of them previously, so maybe that had something to do with it. It was 3-2, and he thought, okay, you're talking to me, then throw. And then he comes with a 3-2 pitch out of the zone and immediately walks toward the mound and starts yelling at Fromber. And Maldonado was on top of Diaz quickly to shut it down and was kind of in his face a little bit. And then Carlos Correa comes over, and then Correa's talking with Diaz. And then I've got it pinned on Twitter if you want to see it, if for whatever reason you weren't watching the game. Correa marches to Fromber on the mound where they're having a powwow session. He literally runs right through the umpire, right through his arm, like, get out of here, get out of the way, and immediately takes over the mound like he's the only one on it and gets in Fromber's face and gets after him. And but it was also, it looked like he was chewing him out, but I think it was also, John, I think you know some of the stuff that was said to him, and he was also, I think, trying to uplift him as well. But if there has been any doubt that Carlos Correa is the man on this team, it's got to be over by now.
Yeah, no. What Carlos was saying was, don't let him. This is not a big D contest, okay? You don't have to prove to Diaz that you have the biggest D. We're here to win a game. Pitch the effing ball and let's get a double play. And that's what he told him. And I'm telling you, Carlos Correa took over as a team captain, as a team leader, as a guy that you can count on in the clutch. He went from 6th, 7th in the order this year to the cleanup hitter during the postseason, and it couldn't have happened soon enough, and it took too long, actually, to get him there. Bregman kind of withered and wilted in the spotlight. Yuli certainly did. You wilted in the spotlight. Correa had his head was a head case. At first, he couldn't hit, and then he couldn't throw, and then
not Correa, Altuve.
I mean Altuve. Yeah. Altuve couldn't hit, and then he couldn't throw, and then at the end, you know, that ball went off. It was a bullet, but it did go off his chest, and he was able to get a force out. But you know, Correa just said, screw you guys. You know what? This is my team, and I'm taking it over. And it'll be interesting to see. He went from $5 million to $8 million this year in arbitration. This is his last year arbitration. It'll be interesting to see how much they give him. Probably 12, maybe 13 this year, the way that he played in the postseason and what he's showing. And that means he's up for a good 20 or 20 plus. Now, he's got to stay healthy, and he's got to hit more in over 162 games. He's got to hit more. He's got to have a better. But maybe this is the stepping stone for him to turn into A-Rod. Because what he was in this postseason was what we all thought he was going to be. Right?
Yeah. No, this was what, and look.
This is what, that small sample size of postseason was what we thought Carlos Correa was going to be every day.
The leadership that he showed, the confidence, the swagger, it's just, everything about it was good. And I'm going to tell you, George Springer, because there have been times that Yuli has not wilted. It's not like this is a, there's been times where Alex Bregman stepped up huge. This postseason, these guys just aren't hitting for whatever reason. And, but when you know, George Springer, if he leaves, you're going to have some great, this is a guy who stepped up on the biggest stage and has made plays. Altuve has stepped up on the biggest stage and made plays. Correa has. This is what I want for James Harden. This is what I want for Deshaun Watson. This is what I want for the other superstars, is to do this. And when you do this, they earn special places in your heart, like Warren Moon and the Oilers couldn't do this. Dream did, and Mario Elie did. And these guys are legendary. They're legendary in the city. Carlos Correa will be legendary. He is already legendary. Altuve is legendary. Springer is. Not Brantley, because Brantley's just been 2 years, but I love Michael Brantley. I hope he comes back. But, man, what Carlos Correa did in the postseason, like, and then after the inning, for him to go over, bump Fromber, talk to Fromber, but how about Fromber again, John? Fromber, they can't stop talking about Fromber Valdez on TV, because he does look like an emerging superstar. He looks like one of the best young pitchers in all of baseball, and he's 26. He's not super young, but that curveball, he's gotten so good with that curveball, and his fastballs, he's got a little heat on the fastball he can locate. Fromber was just, from start to finish, other than a minor bump in the road for a couple games, he was unbelievable this year.
Yeah. 713-780-3776, no question. You guys want to talk Astros, you're more than welcome. 815 ESPN 97.5. Lance, let's talk a little jab. Give a little jab.
Sight jab. The Rangers took a jab at the Astros. We'll talk about that on the other side, and we will get to David. But right now I want to tell you about Sight Jab. I want to talk about Hector. Hector is a guy who is the co-founder of Sight Jab. He started doing websites, his first one, when I think he was like 17 years old, and he did it for this company he was working for. And it was, what you'd expect back then. But, it's funny. When you look at the website since 2005, you look at 2011, they look so unbelievably dated. 2014, 15 can look dated. The websites, more and more, with more and more analytics available, the people who design websites understand what it is that works and what doesn't work with design. So if you've got somebody designing your website that's not up on that, that doesn't keep track of those type of analytics and data, then you're going to have a website that maybe doesn't fully bring the viewer in. You only get 2 or 3 seconds on a website to keep the viewer there. So it needs to pop. It needs to look good. It needs to be able to provide the information that the user, the reader is looking for, and then help you convert that lead into money. Help those convert the eyes into a lead, and then the lead into actual business. And that's what SiteJab can do. They can build your custom design website in 3 to 6 weeks, and they can do it for a lot less than you're going to spend with a lot of the other guys. 2 decades in business right here in Houston. Go to their website and check out all the services they offer, sitejab.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm just proud of this team, man. It's been an unbelievable ride. I've never had so much fun playing baseball as I did this year with this group of guys. Everything, the pandemic hit, spring training 2.0 in Houston, and, Verlander going down, Osuna going down, Albers going down. We still didn't give up. We didn't fold. We kept battling. You know, we got to the playoffs. Nobody gave us a chance against Minnesota. We won two games against Oakland. You know, they beat us throughout the regular season. We came up huge, and we won that series. And then down 0-3, everybody was talking about Astros getting swept and this and that. We come back, force game seven. Obviously not the finale that we wanted, but I'm just proud of this team, and it's been unbelievable.
As Carlos Correa, that, you know what, that was a lot of fun. They gave us a lot of, I'm telling you, that team just, gives, I don't know why, but the Rockets, the whole, now this whole, now we'll find out with the Daryl Morey saga and whatnot. By the way, I saw Tillman at the Cougs game on Friday night, and he said he'll come on the show. So
okay,
we're going to get Tillman on here very shortly.
Well, did you see? Are you aware of what Daryl Morey did?
The page,
yeah,
the full page ad in the Chronicle.
Yeah, he's a full. I don't get the Chronicle, but I saw Daryl tweeted. Daryl bought a full page ad in the Houston Chronicle, and he said, James Harden changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
An entire page could be dedicated just to James. He not only transformed my life, but also revolutionized the game of basketball and continues to do so, like almost no one has before. The game is played differently because of James, and on every playground in the world, the next generation of talent is studying and imitating his game. What do I want to do with that?
First of all, do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
You think everybody's playing like James now?
So I will tell you this. I think the step-back jumper that James has created and the step sideways, I don't even know if there's a name for it. I'm seeing this I was watching Deli. I'm sure you know Mac McClung, college basketball player, went to Georgetown, white guy, and then is at Texas Tech now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, okay, so you watch his game and you see the way he shoots a step back and a sidestep, that's straight James. I mean, I think James has created the step back three, has really, I know Steph Curry did it first. Well, I don't know if Steph did it first, but I assume Steph Curry did it first as a way to create space. But I think James's step back game and the way that he plays, yeah, I think in a way there are kids on playgrounds doing that stuff. Now, has he revolutionized the game? That's too much. That's too much. Revolutionize the game because of what? And so is Mike D'Antoni. Going 1-4 is revolutionary. Do y'all think that's revolutionizing the game?
No. I mean, if...
I think Daryl revolutionized the game. And when I say revolutionize, it means a huge... He has altered greatly the face of basketball in conjunction with James, with the idea of shooting a ton of threes and going 3-2. And I think Daryl Morey revolutionized the game, and not necessarily always for the best reason. Do I think the game has changed? Do you guys think it hasn't? Look how many teams do this now. But that's Daryl. How's that James? That's more Daryl than James, isn't it?
I don't know. I think if it wasn't for James' success playing one-on-one, the success that he has, obviously you wouldn't have the success that the Rockets have, and you wouldn't have the success that James has. And who would emulate it if it wasn't successful? So I think, you know what, you can design it, and you can put pieces around it where you can do whatever. But ultimately, this all fell on James to do, and it does night in and night out. But I don't know. I think there are more people that dislike the way that James plays basketball more. I think, you know, I think he's in a cocoon here. He's watching Houston and Houston fans, and he's watching James every night. And I think the rest of the world looks at this, the way that James plays basketball, and says, this is not enjoyable. There's nothing about it. And, oh, by the way, I think he's cheating. I think there are people who think he's cheating by his drop step. I think that he travels all the time. He gets to the line way too. I mean, I think he's way overplaying James's effect, or at least he's misreading James's effect on the rest of the country.
Does this surprise you, though? Does this surprise either of you that at first I was taken aback by this thing?
No.
But think about it. Everything he's done for James. I know it sounds like a Bryan Adams song or whatever. Everything he's done, he does it for James.
Right. Well, no. No, I think that
he's always
he has.
Protected
no, he
James.
Said it before.
He said he's the next. He said he's better than Jordan with a better score than Jordan.
No, he believes this. He believes all this.
Yeah, obviously. He took out a full-page ad.
Can you read the ad again, Lance?
All right. James Harden changed my life. An entire page could be dedicated to just James. He not only transformed my life, but he also revolutionized the game of basketball and continues to do so like almost no one has before. The game is played differently because of James. And on every playground in the world, the next generation of talent is studying and imitating his game.
Mm-hmm. No,
finally, I wanted to say thank you. Yeah. Oh, and here it is. Oh, you know what? Let me finish it. Put the music back up. Put the music back up. The game is played differently because of James, and on every playground in the world, the next generation of talent is studying and imitating his game. I can't believe I won't be able to have another strategy session with James.
Strategy?
I'm just reading the words.
Okay.
I can't believe I won't be able to have another strategy session with James.
True.
I loved working together on how to get
everything
his...
Everything I do.
I loved working together on how to get his incredible Hall of Fame teammates, Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, and Russell Westbrook, to the Rockets. And then summarily dismissed from there as
that's
quickly
not
as
in,
could...
That's no. not in the huh? page. That's not in the
it's,
page.
It's in the... That, yeah.
I don't think that's in the page.
I will be rooting for James to win a championship for Houston. It's how this story should end.
Okay, we have to stop this.
No, we don't.
It was heartfelt to James Harden.
And this song is heartfelt. How much more heartfelt do you want?
He loves him some James Harden. Just let it go. Okay.
Did he say that's how the story should end?
No, the story
yes,
should.
He said that.
The story should end with a championship.
That's what I'm saying. He said
the
story
should
end
with a championship built on the backs of the first round picks we get for James. Now move his ass. This is almost just like a stick in the eye at Chris Paul. I loved work. He actually said strategy session with James, and then he said, I loved working together on how to get his incredible Hall of Fame teammates, Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, and Russell Westbrook to the Rockets.
So he,
but he actively campaigned to get rid of two of them.
He traded one to get the other one, right? He traded one Hall of Fame teammate to get the other one, right?
Right, that strategy session.
Yeah, is that what they worked out in their strategy session?
All right, new strategy.
Hey.
Darryl, emergency meeting. New strategy.
Hey, new strategy.
Chris Paul's got to go.
And so does Sam Decker because he sizes
says
Dwight Howard.
Chris Paul is, there's friction between Chris Paul and James Harden.
Darryl comes out next. No, there's not. What? No. These guys love each other. Great. We're not trading Chris Paul.
Chris Paul's
been traded.
Didn't he, Darryl, hop in some Instagram account or did he put it on Instagram that Chris Paul was staying?
No, he jumped in.
Was it an Instagram account talking about a potential trade, and he was like, that's not happening?
Yes. Daryl said, that's not happening. We're not trading Chris
Paul.
I'm
going to tell you the two things in Houston sports that have made the least amount of sense to me. Number one, Daryl doing that when he knew there was drama and beef, and like he knew that it was drama that would come to a head, and Bill O'Brien lying about not calling plays or not saying that he took over play calling duties after the Vikings game. What in the world? Why would these two guys say that stuff? We obviously knew there people in NBA circles knew how bad the issue was between James and Chris. There's no reason to lie. You no comment that or you don't even address it. That made no sense for Daryl to come out on that one. And then the Bill O'Brien play calling thing is like, dude, they have cameras on you during the game.
We see you.
We can see you. You're not invisible.
All right. Okay, when we come back, what's worse? Watching Cody Bellinger Cadillac or watching Zach Cunningham on the 94-yard run.
Ooh, I see you're not going to talk about what happened after the Cadillac.
What What happened after the Cadillac?
Well, we'll tell you and all of America that's listening right now when we come back.
All right.
Well, there's more to that story.
But first, Lance.
First, there's more to your TGS story as well. I know your thought is, well, what are we going to do here? What's the play? Well, the play is for you to get homeowners insurance that makes sense for you financially. You don't have to pay outrageous amounts of money for homeowners insurance. You really don't. You can get A-rated insurance from TGS Insurance, and you can get a quote right now. No strings attached. You text the word money to 232323. They ask for your address. You give it to them, and within seconds, you are going to get a firm quote. And this quote, you know, you can work on it. Add this, add that, add flood insurance, whatever you're looking to do. But I think you're going to find in most cases you are saving money by going with TGS Insurance. Once again, you text the word money to 232323, and they will get you taken care of. And the great thing about TGS is they can work on getting you new car insurance as well if you're worried about losing your bundle when you leave. And they can get you switched over on both fronts today. They can make it happen today and get you the prorated amount that you've already spent back. TGSinsurance.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Heart is not going to like you playing this coming back, as opposed to I don't know what the hell you play, but he's not. This is like a Tyler song for him.
It's just simply more of Daryl Moore's tribute to James. Baby, you're all that I want when you're lying here in my arms.
Oh, he'll like it because of that.
This isn't true. Someone said Romeo was cheering one time during the game, and he looked like an old guy waving from an assisted living home.
That's not true.
He looked like a head coach of a team that's 1-1 under his watch.
He didn't look like.
I mean,
there was some cheering. I was like, dude, man, he is really really getting old.
What's Pawpaw?
Pawpaw.
Well,
we have.
We now have two Pawpaws. We have Pawpaw Romeo and Pawpaw Dusty.
We do.
And we don't even have a Pawpaw with the Rockets, although I think we're about to have Pawpaw Lucas soon.
You got two sides, right?
Yeah.
And now in today's world, we've got a stepmom, and she's got Pawpaw Lucas.
How old is Romeo Crennel?
Romeo's 70, 60?
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and ask this question.
73.
Yeah. Is Houston the first team in the history of sports to have three professional teams blow out their head coach and general manager in the same calendar year?
Wow. Head coach and general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It has to be.
Has to be, right?
I would imagine. Dusty's 71.
A head coach and a general manager, you blow them out for all three organizations in the same year?
Wow. Same calendar year.
It has to be the only time it's happened in sports history.
Romeo 73, Dusty 71.
Is this the first time that two?
Let's see how old John Lucas is. We can set the record on this one,
too. There's no question. This will set the record.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that there has ever been two 70-year-olds?
66.
Oh, my goodness.
73, 71, and 66. No one can touch us on age.
But has any professional organizations ever had two 70-year-olds managing / coaching at the same time in the same city?
No, I don't think that there's many. First of all, Romeo's the oldest ever. It would have to be in Buffalo, and Buffalo doesn't have enough. That's all they have is a hockey team. I don't know.
Well, is there basketball and like who could have been, even Dr. Jack Ramsey wasn't. He was probably like, I don't even know who the oldest, there was an old ass coach for.
The oldest head coach? Pop is the oldest head coach right now.
No, but all time.
Oh, all time? Oh, I don't know.
Your oldest NBA coaches. Pop is 71 right now. San Antonio doesn't have any other sports. Who are the oldest coaches ever in basketball? Hubie Brown.
Okay.
Hired Hubie when he was 69, and he retired when he was 71. Larry Brown retired at the age of 75. So Larry Brown was in – oh, he was well, – but that's right. He went to SMU. So he retired from the NBA at 67. Rick Adelman retired when he was 67.
Jerry Sloan retired when he was 68. Went on a John Deere tractor.
And Pop. So that's it, dude. This has never happened before. Two 70-year-olds.
No.
In a major sport. We're breaking. We're setting records.
That's what we do.
We set records right now on pace to be the worst NFL team since the 2002 Texans, or 2004 Texans, I think, at stopping the run in the second half. Breaking that, shattering that record right now.
Yeah, and did you see the stat of average yards per carry? There are only a handful of guys in the second half that average over 5 yards of carry, and Barry Sanders was one and some other guys.
Yeah.
Well, he destroyed that this week.
Well, what was the I saw a record. Oh, no, it's Swift. It was DeAndre Swift as the first running back since 89 for the Lions that had 2 touchdowns and 100 yards rushing in a game since Barry Sanders. Hadn't happened for over 30 years, 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, what do you want to talk, Astros or Texans, John?
So I want to know what Cody Bellinger did.
Okay, well, I'll save it for after. Let's get these calls.
Well, you said you teased
it. All right, fine. Cody Bellinger, after he pimped his home run, which basically sent the Dodgers to the World Series.
Yeah.
He did this huge elbow smash. He did this huge elbow smash with Hernandez. I mean, huge. And forearm smash. And after that, he kind of went into the dugout and started wincing really badly and was in a lot of pain. Then was holding his shoulder and was holding his bicep. He hurt himself doing the find out how bad he's hurt, but he was really having some issues after he did the forearm smash.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Even when Bellinger's shoulder popped out last year, he popped it back in and doubled in the same game. Bellinger might be used to his shoulder popping out. Oh, his shoulder popped out.
Oh, man.
He may have re-aggravated his shoulder injury. Thoughts and prayers. T and P, bro. T and P. Let's get Daniel in here who wants to talk about the Astros. What's up, Daniel?
Yeah, hey, I was just calling. I wanted to, number one, I think the Astros ended up having a great season, all things considered. And I thought it was really interesting. It seems like they may have changed the narrative on the whole outlook from everything. The reason I say that is, Verlander goes down. They're sub 500. They look terrible. And then all of a sudden they make it, to game 7 of the ALCS. And I was watching MLB tonight. Friday night after the victory, and it's the first time I've ever heard anybody in media since the scandal say for the first time that these guys are actually fun to root for. And I thought that was really interesting. Just kind of wanted to see what y'all's thoughts were on it. Thanks.
Well, I thought they were. I don't think the rest of the country feels that way. The rest of the country is pretty happy that the Astros are gone.
Yeah, and it's a shame because they are a team that would be,
A lot of people are put off by the fact of how they went from cheaters to victims. Carlos Correa saying that's all you want to talk about, and so there are a lot of people. Listen, they still got plenty of detractors. There were some people I think might have gotten behind them and said, look at these guys. You know what? Good for them. Fighting back. I love it. You know what? They might have gotten some of that.
Ooh, not that much.
Not a bunch. But hopefully this Luno interview today will shed some light on some of the other shenanigans that were going on, if I can use a Lance Berkman term.
Yeah, absolutely.
some of the other shenanigans that were going on around the league. Maybe he can shed some light on that. I hope that they delve a little bit deeper than just that soundbite on it. But if it can put some pressure on Rob Manfred to maybe come forth and, you know, and actually tell the world that it wasn't only the Astros, and maybe take some of the heat off of this organization and this team, I think that would be totally sweet. Going to be very, very interesting to see what that thing is about. So I think the Astros did. I think they gained some a measure of respect. I think they, during this entire season, everybody was saying, well, you see, they can't play without the without the trash cans. But in the big, on the biggest stage, they certainly did. So I think that they definitely validated what they've
Here's
done.
Here's the problem.
It
would
years.
Be over. It would be over, except the fact that fans didn't get their licks in. So it won't be over next year.
Uh-huh.
You know, they get the fans when they go back to stadiums, and there will be fans in stadiums. What percentage? I don't know, but they're going to be there. They're going to get their licks in next year.
Yeah.
I would think. Let's get Dave. Dave wants to talk about Texans. Your Texans played much better yesterday, went in and kind of, you know, just defensively, they just didn't hold up. The offense did their part. Defense didn't. Second game in a row with 30 points plus, right, for the Texans. So let's get David in here. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. This is the real D Green. I usually bother y'all on Twitter, but I thought I'd call in this morning. My big thing on the Texans is that, and it was validated by what Romeo Crennel said when he said the responsibility was vacated. He has given the players the speech that says you are playing for a job either on this team or another team, and he doesn't care. He called them out. He didn't call out the player's name because he's, you know, a professional, but he's told them to play for their jobs. And that's why they went for two. Going for one, nobody plays for a job. Going for two, somebody's got to play for a job. And so that's what you're going to see, I think. You're going to see, you know, they're going to have fun and maybe they'll do plays that Bill wouldn't have done, but he's going to let them all prove if they've got anything, prove if they ain't got nothing. And that's how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And then go ahead.
Just to that point, he said afterwards, no, I felt like if we make this two, that we put the game away. I'm playing to win. And if we make that two, it makes it almost impossible for them to come back and beat us. So that's why he went for the two. But that's what he said.
They can both be together. They're not mutually exclusive. You know, he can tell the players we're going to play to win, but he can also say you didn't play to win. You know, he clearly said you vacated your responsibility. Mm-hmm. So that's my point. I mean,
well, I think Romeo's got no politics to play. You know, if JJ, because JJ Watt has a. And he wasn't talking about J.J. on this, but J.J. Watt has a history of not being disciplined with where his run fits are supposed to be and trying to make plays where he didn't just do what the team asked him to do. He's got some history with that, and Jadeveon had history with it too. Romeo Crennel, John, this is like for him, he's like, what's his name, Ron? Who was it in Office Space? Although he's actually doing a job where he didn't care about the bobs. He didn't care about anything. He was just like going to go about his day. That's where Romeo Crennel is. What does Romeo Crennel care what people think about what he says or does? He's got this year and he can jet whenever he wants to.
Yeah.
He doesn't care if he makes in it, you know, I would assume he's just going to be a chronic truth teller.
Yeah, he is. He is. Now, he's also a decision maker though, and that wasn't the best decision.
I didn't like it.
But I do like his let's just win, F it, let's just win. And you guys go make plays. And he said, you know, on the Wildcat, hey, they knew what they were supposed to do. We practiced it. It wasn't like we saw something we didn't know. They knew what they were supposed
John.
To do. They just didn't do it.
If this were Romeo Crennel's team long term, like if he had been hired and they said, okay, Romeo, we're going to let you have your shot. And this was not just an interim thing.
Yeah.
Does he go for fourth down three times? Does he go for fourth down there by the goal line? Does he go for two? I don't think he does. I think he's probably coaching differently because it's all house money.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I don't give a rat's ass.
I always wanted to do this. I always wanted to go for two and try to make it a 9-point game.
Right, right. All right, 844 ESPN 97.5. We got to talk about a little CoreMed right now.
CoreMed Solutions is, oh my goodness. So people have been reaching out to me left and right about CoreMed, and here's the reason why. This is the first time that we've seen something where you don't have to go to a different doctor so that you get, you know, a chance to go get an echocardiogram to check out your heart health. This is an actual freestanding company that has a pediatric cardiologist and an adult cardiologist, and Dr. Burkholder, who can review what is going on with your heart. And if you're in good shape, that's great. This is the kind of checkup that everyone needs to have on a relatively consistent basis. It's the number one killer in our country, and that is going to go up because COVID has brought along a lot more cases of myocarditis for even people who have had asymptomatic and mild cases. Go check out what's going on with your heart. Go check out what's going on with your kids' heart, your young athletes, your dad, your mom, everyone in your family, or if you own a small or medium-sized business or large. They did UPS, for example. They went out there with their mobile units and did the whole place. Everyone who wanted to come in, they can do the same thing for colleges, high schools, or businesses. You can go to CoreMedSolutions.com and check out their website and get them to check out your heart health. CoreMedSolutions.com, just $200, even without insurance. CoreMedSolutions.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, definitely. Christy, I mean, you know, they got 94 yards to go and 96 yards to go, which is basically almost the length of the field. And so you figure that if they have to matriculate the ball down the field, that's going to use time on the clock, and it's going to be tough for them to get a touchdown and all that. But when they can hit 94 yards on one play, they don't use any time off the clock, and it's just it's a little demoralizing.
Wow, and watching that play again from especially the end zone view, the what Zach Cunningham did, but then what Eric Murray did. Eric Murray came sliding in almost like he was sliding feet first into second base.
Dude, Eric Murray had a – that film session is not going to be friendly to Eric Murray.
Or Zach Cunningham.
Or Zach Cunningham or Justin Reed, who was a tackle misser. It's going to be bad film. Bad film. And it needs to be watched. It can't be one of these, you know what, it was a bad – well, it wasn't a bad game, actually. It was a win. That's not one where you can say, look, we didn't play well. Let's just throw it away. You got to go watch that, be accountable, and learn from that. That has got to stop happening. Zach Cunningham ain't going anywhere. He's just got paid a lot of money. He's got to learn to play better. And when I say that, I mean he was a run and chase. You know, he's kind of a freewheeling linebacker. He's what we call a run and chase linebacker. He's not great when the ball goes downhill at him. That's Bernardrick. Bernardrick doesn't mind swapping paint. He'll give you a pop, but he's a little more limited. Zach Cunningham now has to learn to play better when the game gets downhill at him. He's got to learn to hit up in his fits and do his job as a tackler. And it's just not it's just not happening this year.
Well, so there were two holes when you watch it from behind. There were two holes.
Well, are you talking about the 94?
The 94. Okay. The 94 yard run. Terrell Adams comes up and he fills the right. He fills the left hole for the offense, the right gap for the defense.
Yeah,
and he steps up and he fills that hole. Well, Zach Cunningham, when Derrick Henry took one step toward that hole, Zach Cunningham just left. I mean, and there's a giant gaping hole over the guard,
right
over where right where Zach Cunningham was supposed to fill, and he took that step to go and join Adams in that hole, and that's all Derrick Henry was take one step, and there's nobody until, well, Eric Murray comes up and slides in feet first, and then just kind of, I don't even think he touched him. And he was unblocked, and he just slid in and wanted zero part of Derrick Henry in that hole. And then Derrick Henry just, and he took one, and he cut upfield, and it was, and he was gone. And it was just so unbelievably poor technique by those two guys that it just is amazing. And you take one misstep, and look what can happen, 94 yards.
I'm starting, you know, and I have seen this on tape before where players will take intentionally shady angles when they're coming from the side where they almost, you can almost, it almost looks like they know what they're doing, and they're coming on the low side, not the high side, meaning it's easier to have a missed arm tackle than as opposed to being taking a committed punishment to make a stop. I just wonder if sometimes guys in the back of their mind don't want to get put on the highlight reel from Derrick Henry. We've seen the stiff arms and people, him battering. I'm sure it's not fun to get battered by him as a runner, but I almost wonder sometimes if these DBs are like, man, I do not want to end up on a highlight reel. Better to get made, better to get my balls broken in a film session than it is to end up on a highlight reel.
Yeah. No. Okay.
If that's a case, we need all new DBs.
Would you rather be Eric Murray right now or Josh Norman?
Josh Norman.
No, Josh Norman. Nobody's going to, you know what? People don't even know what number came up sliding in with feet first. They have no idea who it was. Josh Norman.
Oh, you mean Eric Murray can just sit in anonymity?
Yes. Eric Murray is not. Josh Norman was a meme all week long.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah, Eric Murray won't be a meme.
No, Eric Murray won't be a meme. Nobody will even know. Honestly, nobody even notices. Oh, some dude just slid in there. Oh, who? I don't know. I can't see the number. Okay. I mean, I had to watch it from behind to notice that it was Eric Murray. I mean, so, no.
Oh, my God. I just seen all the Josh Norman memes.
It's unbelievable.
Holy crap.
I mean, it's unbelievable, dude. So, no, you'd much rather be Eric Murray today than Josh Norman. I mean, not the money, not money-wise, but yeah, you talk about that.
But at least he tried. That's what I'm saying.
Eric Murray made a business decision.
That's what I'm saying. What business? Your business decision? Oh, man.
No.
You're just pissing me off, and you're not even here today.
No, Eric Murray made a business decision.
It's true, though. What you're saying is true. That's why I'm pissed off about it.
I'm going to play another play here. I'm not going to die.
I'm not going to ask Dell this question. I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think Dell could tackle Derrick Henry?
Ooh, no. I don't know that.
Wait,
no.
You got starting safeties in the NFL who can't tackle him. Why would I be able to tackle
him?
Would you like to see Dell try to tackle Derrick Henry?
Yes, I would love to see that face first.
Me too.
Why? I would love to see you try to tackle him.
I'm not going to. I have a bad shoulder.
Yeah.
Well, otherwise,
Lance
I would.
Is out. Oh, really?
You want to see? John's got
I'd
corona.
Like to see Lance. I'd like to see Lance actually step up over a curb. What do you mean tackle Derrick Henry?
Very slanderous. If you see what he did to you there.
I tripped again today and this weekend. I told my wife not to tell anybody. I tripped over a gas. Like I had to. It was a curled up gas. You know when you have you're filling your gas tank up in the tube that goes all the way from the top. It was curled up, and I tried to step over it, and I started falling forward and caught myself on my car door that was open, or I would have fallen, and it blasted my shoulder, and I was like, oh! And I was in the car just, oh! And some woman came over like, I'm a nurse. Can I help? My wife said, no, it's just his shoulder. He separated. He had dislocated it, and now he's just going through the pain of bashing.
No, it's just a giant
tripped,
puss.
But don't tell anybody on the radio, please.
Okay. And what did you do?
Please don't tell Dell. I still told on myself. Yeah, so I can't. I would definitely tackle Derrick Henry if it wasn't for the shoulder.
Oh, listen to this. Listen to Tough Guy. If it wasn't for my shoulder, if
yes.
I wasn't out right now.
No, I would, 100%. I would get him down on the ground, I think, fairly easily. But my shoulder is what's really causing this problem here. It's not fully healed.
Dude, there are NFL players that are making business decisions saying, F that, I ain't, for who, for what? Eric Murray said, for who, for what?
He went straight Ricky Waters. Let me tell you something. Am I off? This is an offensive line text string, the Joe Moore Award guys, Cole Kubelik, center at Auburn, Aaron Taylor, NFL offensive tackle, Mike Golick, center, Notre Dame, Jeff Schwartz, longtime NFL tackle and guard, and then there's just me, because, you know, we're the guys who could get Derrick Henry down. And I mentioned what was happening with Derrick Henry, and like all of them said, don't blame him. I wouldn't want to tackle him either. Like, these are guys who play in the trenches, and they have no interest in trying to get Derrick Henry down.
No.
I mean, this is stuff we saw with Earl Campbell, Jim Brown, and maybe Natrone Means.
This is the Christian Okoye.
Christian Okoye, and then Brandon Jacobs had a couple where Brandon had some runs where he almost ended people's lives.
No, but who was the Chargers big dog?
Natrone Means.
You know what? Guys made business decisions. You know what? And this, but only the difference is this guy can run.
Well, he's Christian. This guy is more like Christian Okoye.
Yeah. Because
Christian could run too. Derrick Henry was running away from Texans.
I think he's more like Earl in that he can run and he
what
can,
about if he I think I he's mean, more like Eric this Dickerson guy but completely in, swole.
It's funny. This guy is, you know, he's turning into something special now. I mean, we thought he was too, you know, big coming out, and he didn't actually get it going in his first couple of years. Well, man, he is exactly – this is a Heisman Trophy winner that is actually coming through big time. In a time when it's all about passing, Derrick Henry's making it about him, which is unbelievable.
Listen, Tennessee, did you see the stats that they showed on the broadcast yesterday? Dale, I know you weren't watching it because – Oh, no, I bet you were watching it because Miami didn't play till later. Did y'all see these stats they showed on the broadcast? Over the last 14 games before yesterday, Ryan Tannehill and Pat Mahomes were both 11-3.
Yeah.
Mahomes had 3,674 passing yards. Tannehill, 3,602. Passing touchdowns, Mahomes, 28. That's two a game. Tannehill, 31. Both had six interceptions. He is actually outdone Pat Mahomes with a running back who is the best running back in the league right now.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
31 touchdowns. How did y'all break Ryan Tannehill, Dell?
Yeah,
how did y'all break that man's spirit?
Congratulations.
Did you see the guy who was coaching the Jets?
Adam Gase?
Yeah,
you mean the 0 point scored Jets this week?
That's how. Notice all the players who've thrived since they've gotten away from Ryan Tannehill. All of a sudden, Devontae Parker has his best year. Mike Gesicki, when he leaves.
Are we about to see Le'Veon really Bell go off in Kansas City?
Well, who knows how many carries he gets, but I bet you he'll have better performances. Adam Gase is an offensive weapon killer, or he'll just trade him away.
Robbie Anderson, he was okay with the Jets too, but Robbie's good with Carolina.
And that's why if you have any hope for Sam Darnold, you hope he gets traded away. And if you hate Trevor Lawrence, you hope the Jets draft him. And Adam Gase is still around, which is unlikely.
Sam Darnold's career is currently dying. And you know why they're not going to get rid of Gase? Because they want to keep catching those L's.
Yeah.
And they're worried that Greg Williams might accidentally mess around and get a W.
John and I talked about it last week. If the Atlanta's dream should have been to be as bad as possible so they can get their Georgia boy Trevor Lawrence. But you know what? The Jets are trying really hard to be awful. And Matt Ryan's too good to go 0-16. And they won yesterday. So
no. And Kirk Cousins is too bad.
No, that too. Except unless he's playing the Texans.
Tell you what's not bad and who's not bad, Texas Custom Patios, company that is building the best patios in the entire state. When I first looked into getting a patio back in 14, actually it was 15, and I asked, hey, give me some patio places, Twitter, and a lot of people responded. And there was one guy who sent me Texas Custom Patios. I went to all these sites, and I was like, holy crap, this is the place. But I dragged my feet, and actually Stephen Schell told me that's how it's going to be. Everyone does this. They see it, they love it, then they drag their feet, they're not sure, and then they come back 2 months later and say, we really want to do this. And it's one of the best decisions I've made. Was out watching games yesterday. Kids go out there all the time. On Sundays, the neighbors come over, and they watch games. My kids turn it on Sunday Ticket, and they put up the 8-game screen on Channel 702, and they all watch together. It's such a great time to be able to go. And the weather's about to be phenomenal this week. It's about to cool down again. And having cocktails out there, grilling out there with your outdoor kitchen, if they want to build that out there. Sound system, big screen television. It is so great to have a patio from Texas Custom Patios. Go check out their work. See the before and afters, and you'll see that it's absolutely possible to transform your backyard and turn your house into a home. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.